Chapter 18. Sid Hoffman kept his eye on the gaggle of WVU football jocks as they sulked out of Patrick's old-time saloon into the night air. He'd just finished a 90-minute hustle with them at the pool table that had left them $500 poorer. On a different day, he might have taken it easier on them, but they'd arrived with so much testosterone and swagger that he couldn't help himself. They'd sealed their fate when they called him Old Man. He gave it even money that he'd see at least one of them one day as a resident at Murder Mountain. When they hadn't doubled back after 5 minutes, Sid figured they were gone for good, and he bought a round for the house out of his winnings. The house had earned it, after all, more than a few doing their part to help him bait the trap and snare the kids' money. Sid took a Maker's on the rocks for himself and wove his way back to the bar table in the corner where he'd been minding his own business when the hustle began. Most of the other customers were old buddies from way back, but one stranger caught his attention. In his 40s, the guy was dressed as a cowboy and sat at his own two-top. He'd been there for over an hour, but hadn't done much other than sip and read. A whole hour on one drink. Yeah, it was odd, but a man's drinking habits were his own business. As Sid passed, the guy stood and fell in behind him, causing Sid's radar to ping. There was nothing aggressive about the guy's move, but it was nonetheless alarming. Sid made his way to his table, where the novel he'd been reading still lay spread open. He set his drink down, then turned to confront the stranger, who was still 10 feet away. "Can I help you?" The cowboy stopped and took a step back. "I mean no harm," he said. "I don't either, but you're the one following me." The cowboy hunched his shoulders, palms up. "Yeah, I sort of am. But again, I mean no harm. Are you Sid Hoffman?" The guy was showing his hands, but Sid worked hard not to draw the baby Glock he kept tucked in a holster on his right hip. "Who's asking?" The cowboy touched the brim of his hat. "Name's Tom. Tom Breen. I'm out from Winston way, and I need to talk to you." "It didn't end so well for the last process server who approached me," Sid warned. Tom smiled. "After the way I saw you handle those kids, I can understand that. I'm here for good reasons, not bad." He gestured to Sid's table. "Can we sit a spell?" Then he gestured back toward his own two-top. "Or we could do mine." "Standing works for me," Sid said. "Please relax, Mr. Hoffman. I just need to talk with you for a little bit. There's a lot good in it for you, I promise."
"If you're trying to sell me something, go ahead and quit right now."
"Please," Tom said. "Won't take 10 minutes. Sid never turned his back on the stranger as he settled into his seat and pointed to the other.
"Sit and say your piece."
Tom sat, scooted his chair in close, and leaned his elbows on the table. This was an invitation to a clandestine conversation, but Sid wouldn't bite. Maybe he wanted to have witnesses hear what was about to be said. Tom didn't press the point. "One more thing, just to make sure you're the Sid Hoffman I need to speak to. You work up on Murder Mountain, right? The federal prison at Hazleton?" Sid waited. "You've been there a long time, right?" Tom continued. "You've got one hell of a service record, a steady line of promotions. Are you that Sid Hoffman?" Sid crossed his arms as he leaned into the table.
"That's a lot of research to do on a person you don't know. The time remaining for you to make your point is growing short."
"But there were problems along the way, weren't there?" Tom continued, as if not interrupted. "Nothing beyond what you'd expect, I suppose.
people getting promoted to positions they didn't deserve because of where they were born or how they were born, a couple of accusations for conduct that nobody would have even cared about 10 or 15 years ago. Sid felt anger begin to burn.
"Are you feeling me here, Sid? I'm not trying to be offensive, believe me. Far from it. It'd be stupid to piss you off right before I ask you a question."
Sid dropped his voice to a low growl. "You're about 5 seconds away from something bad happening to you."
"Look," Tom said, "I happen to know that you have financial issues."
Sid's heart rate skipped. "Yeah, there were money issues, but nobody around here knew about those. It was nobody's business that his sister had cancer or that the oil rights he'd bought in Oklahoma never yielded anything." Tom slapped the tabletop lightly with his palms.
"Okay, enough of the mystery. My name isn't really Tom, but what my real name is of no concern to you. I wanted to impress upon you that I am, how do I want to say it, connected. That's the right word, but not in the sense of the mafia. Are you getting my drift?"
"No, I'm not," Sid replied. He'd found his conspiratorial tone at last.
"I'm probably not making myself clear." Tom leaned in very close this time. "What I'm about to present to you is illegal. I'm putting that right out front, and what I want you to know is that you are under no obligation to take on what I'm about to ask. But if you do, we expect performance. If you don't want to do it, then, well, we're done here. But if word ever leaks out that you revealed the offer, the price would be unimaginably high. And it won't stop with you."
He lowered his tone even more. "If I'm really telling you the truth, the penalty won't even start with you. Watching others we love suffer is so much harder than suffering ourselves. Are you following me, Sid?" Through the entire monologue, everything about this man exuded calm reasonableness. He might have been telling the story of an interesting conversation he'd overheard. Sid didn't scare easily, and it was that everyman demeanor that pushed him over.
"Get out of here. I don't even want to hear what you have to offer."
"Unfortunately, it's too late for that," Tom said.
He reached around to his back pocket and produced an envelope. "How often do you come in contact with Connie Kendall?" Sid tried to hide his surprise, but he didn't react in time. Only a handful of people knew that Connie Kendall was even at the prison.
"Please don't insult me by pretending you don't know who she is or that you've never heard of her," Tom warned. "As a supervisor, how often do you see her?"
Sid saw no upside to playing a bluff here.
"We rotate shifts, 3 days of day shift, 3 days of night shift, 3 days off. When I'm on, I see her at least twice a day."
"I didn't know there were women's facilities at the prison," Tom said.
"Well, as you clearly already know, there aren't. Whatever she did, Uncle Sam is jumping through hoops on special accommodations."
"Who else does she see on a regular basis?"
"No one, really. Her lawyer and the prosecutors. That's who I'm told they are, anyway. Some things are beyond my pay grade."
"Why is she not allowed to see her regular lawyer?"
Sid chuckled, and he could hear the nervousness in it.
"Look, Tom, or whoever you are, I'm just the jailer. I make sure the inmates get fed and that they don't kill each other. I'm not in anyone's inner circle."
Tom scowled.
"Yeah, but you must hear things."
"You mentioned something about money," Sid replied. The scowl turned to a grin.
"There it is. There's always a place for greed in every man's heart."
He put the envelope from his pocket on the table and slid it across to Sid.
"Take a look inside."
Just from the dimensions, he knew it was cash, and from the heft,
There was quite a bit of it. All depended on the denominations. He spread the mouth of the envelope with his thumb and forefinger. A lot of hundreds. "That's $10,000. Tom more mouthed the words than spoke them. "You can use that, right?"
"Damn straight."
"For this?" Sid asked. "For information?" Tom's explosive laugh seemed real.
"Oh, God, no!"
He dropped his tone. "The information is a sideline." He reached around to his other pocket and withdrew another envelope. This one was cream-colored and seemed like higher-quality paper. The flap was branded shut with an old-fashioned wax seal. He slid that over as well. "This is what you're getting paid for. You need to get this to Connie Kendall before noon tomorrow."
"I'm off tomorrow.
Get back on." Sid regretted even saying that. He was the one who did the schedules, and he worked most of his days off anyway.
"Yeah, no problem."
"Now, listen to me very carefully," Tom said. "Because if you screw this part up, I will take a chainsaw to your kids in Fort Wayne. Are you listening?"
Sid nodded.
"And did you hear that part about the chainsaw? You wouldn't believe the violence I am capable of." The Maker's mark had turned to something acidic and terrible in his stomach.
"I heard you."
"If I don't hear from you before noon tomorrow, I will assume that you've done something stupid like handing this over to the FBI or to your supervisor."
It wasn't something he would do anyway.
He couldn't stand the pricks who ran Murder Mountain.
"What am I supposed to tell you? Just that I delivered the letter?"
"No. When you give it to her, she'll tell you something in return. You'll need to repeat it exactly."
"Before noon?"
"Yes, but remember that what she tells you is nuanced. You'll need to recite it back to me precisely. Precisely. Do you understand?"
"I do."
"Remember, at 12:01, or if the response is wrong, it's Husqvarna time in Indiana."
Sid's hands were trembling.
"Pull it together now, friend," Tom said. "A lot of people are counting on you."
He stood.
Sid stood with him.
"Wait, how am I supposed to get in touch with you?"
Tom grinned and winked.
"That's part of the response."
He started to walk away, but then turned back. "I'll know if you try to warn your ex or your kids. Besides, I've got people watching them anyway. Have a good night, Sid."